Gardening in the Coop is sponsored by the University of Idaho Extension Kootenai County Idaho Master Gardeners Program, which provides gardeners with an opportunity to improve their horticultural knowledge and skills, as well as serve their communities. Certified Idaho Master Gardeners help people grow by answering gardening questions and solving gardening problems with reliable, relevant, and research-based information. For more information, email kootenaiimg@uidaho.edu. You're listening to Gardening in the Coop, the podcast all about growing your best garden. Whether you're new to gardening or you're a lifelong enthusiast, you'll find helpful gardening tips and best practices, along with real-life experiences shared by me, your certified master gardener and host, Candace Godwin. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Gardening in the Coop. Well, it's definitely fall here in North Idaho. We're still enjoying those mild sunny days, but those frosty nights are a reminder that winter isn't too far away. Fall's a favorite season of mine. For me, it's a time to wind down and enjoy the simple pleasures that nature gives us, like eating a sweet Honeycrisp apple or walking through those fallen leaves. It feels good to slow down a little, especially after getting all my fall garden chores finished. One of the highlights was getting the garlic planted, and I cannot believe how much I planted this year. I was only planning to use half of my long side bed, which measures 3.5 feet wide by 22 feet long, but I ended up planting out the entire bed. That's 8 varieties of garlic for a total of 246 cloves. Yep, that's a lot of garlic, but I know we'll use it, and I might have some seed garlic for next year. Oh, and I also planted shallots for the first time. These mild onions are a chef's delight, and they can be expensive to buy in the store, so I thought, why not give them a try this year? Like garlic, they're planted in the fall and harvested the following summer. Hopefully, these will grow well, and my own personal chef, also known as my husband Hal, will have a nice harvest to look forward to. I find it really satisfying to put the garden to bed in the fall, and I get great pleasure out of restoring order to the beds. Everything looks so nice and tidy. Blame it on my German heritage for insisting on order and tidiness, but I have to say, in the garden, it's a constant battle and one that I only win in the fall. Putting the garden to bed also gives me a chance to reflect on the season just past and an opportunity to plan for next spring. And to ensure a healthy garden next spring, there's one vital chore that should be done each fall, and it just so happens to be the topic of today's podcast. It involves giving some much-needed TLC to your garden soil. So let's dig in and talk all about soil amendments for the fall garden. I think sometimes we as gardeners overlook the importance of our soil. We tend to put most of our focus on the plants and rate our gardening success based on how well those plants grew. To that end, we end up fertilizing and pampering them throughout the season, all the while hoping for a productive garden. But a garden's success is due to the soil, not the plant. Your soil is the foundation that your garden is built upon. And without healthy soil, you won't be able to grow healthy plants, no matter how much fertilizer or pampering you provide. Your soil is teeming with life, from the macroorganisms like earthworms and pill bugs, down to the microorganisms such as bacteria, fungi, and microbes. They're all doing the work of converting raw materials into plant-available nutrients to feed the plants and, by extension, feed us. So it's really important, especially after a robust growing season, to replace the nutrients in your soil that the plants have used up all summer long. When you add amendments to your soil now, you'll have better soil and healthier plants in the spring, and you won't need to add all that extra and expensive fertilizer. Compost and other organic matter helps with moisture retention and drainage in the soil, and it also improves the texture of sandy or clay soils. But most importantly, when organic amendments like compost are added to the soil now, its nutrients will slowly work their way into the soil. And over the winter months, other organic materials, such as leaves and rotted manures, will gradually break down to feed the beneficial microbes and worms that live in the soil. Unlike synthetic fertilizers, organic soil amendments take time to work to improve the soil. That's why now is the time to amend your soil. so it'll be all ready to go for you by next spring. Let's talk a little bit more about compost. At the most basic level, compost is a soil amendment made of organic matter such as leaves and food scraps that have been transformed over time into a nutrient-rich humus. Earthworms and other macroorganisms do a fantastic job in helping to break down the compost materials, and oxygen-loving bacteria and fungi also contribute by breaking down the organic matter to produce ammonium, which in turn provides available nitrogen for healthy plant growth. The benefits of compost are great. As I mentioned, compost enriches and improves the soil structure, and it helps your soil retain moisture. It also reduces the need for chemical fertilizers, again saving you time and money. It encourages the production of beneficial bacteria and fungi, which help break down the organic matter. And composting reduces methane emissions from landfills and lowers your carbon footprint. Here's an interesting fact. According to the U.S. Composting Council, food scraps and yard waste together make up more than 30% of what we throw away, all of which could be composted. Now, composting isn't difficult to do, yet many people I talk to think it's too complicated or don't think they have the necessary space. A compost pile doesn't require large space, and while there are a few basic rules, it's pretty simple to set up a compost pile in your yard. I like to remind folks that even if the only thing you do is just pile up yard waste and leaves in a bin or a pile, it will eventually turn to compost. It really is that simple. So what makes up compost? Compost consists of two types of organic matter: carbon-rich brown matter and nitrogen-rich green matter. It's best to have a little more brown than green, and a good ratio to aim for is about 2/3 brown to 1/3 green. Brown matter is high in carbon and includes materials such as straw, leaves, pine needles, wood shavings and sawdust, dead plant debris, and small branches from pruning. You can even add shredded newspaper. Green matter is higher in nitrogen and includes things like grass clippings, food scraps from vegetables and fruits, weeds without seed heads, and the droppings and natural bedding from small animals like rabbits, guinea pigs, and hamsters. And of course, the manure from common farm animals such as chickens, goats, horses, and cattle. Here's something to keep in mind when using animal manure. Some of this matter can contain weed seeds, especially that from cows and goats, and some can be very high in nitrogen, like chicken manure. So before distributing any compost on your garden that contains manure, make sure that the manure is well rotted, fully decomposed, and thoroughly incorporated into the compost. No fresh dung on the garden. As I mentioned, composting has a few basic rules, and these are primarily what not to add to your compost pile. First, avoid adding any plant material that is diseased or insect infested. These materials should always be put into the trash and not into your compost pile. Also, don't add any grass clippings that have been treated with an herbicide, like a weed and feed product or a weed killer product. The residual chemicals can leach out of the compost and may affect your plants in a way that is not something that you want. It's best not to compost any meat or dairy products, as these can attract unwanted pests and produce an unpleasant smell. And finally, never compost feces from dogs or cats or use cat litter. They can contain harmful pathogens and bacteria. For proper decomposition, keep the compost pile moist. You may have to wet the pile during the hot summer months to achieve this. And also, you'll need to turn the pile frequently, especially when new material is added. Turning the pile does two things. First, it buries the new matter so that it can decompose faster, and at the same time, it aerates the pile. Oxygen is a necessary component for decomposition. A compost pile should never have a bad smell. Now, it may smell grassy or it may smell like wet leaves, but it should never smell like rotting garbage. If this is the case, the pile may be too wet or lack oxygen. Make sure you're turning the compost pile on a regular basis, especially when adding new food scraps or other materials. When the material at the bottom of your pile is dark and crumbly, your compost is ready to use. This can take anywhere from 2 months to 2 years, and that really depends on the size of the pile, the materials that are used, and the moisture levels. Of course, you don't have to make your own compost. You can purchase compost by the bag or in bulk. For small gardens or raised beds, I recommend purchasing a high-quality bag compost. It's a quick and convenient way to add the amendment. You can also purchase compost in bulk from nurseries, but I recommend asking if the product being sold is made from sewage sludge or biosolids. Sludge byproducts are processed and treated at a high heat to kill any pathogens, and then the material is mixed with other organic matter and sold as compost. Now, this product is safe for agricultural applications, and I have used it on my lawn and in my flower beds, but I've not used it on any edible plants. Just be aware that this product is out there, and ask the nursery where their compost is coming from and what it's made of. Then you can decide if this is the product for your garden. Along with quality compost, one of the best soil conditioners available is leaves from deciduous trees. Yes, I said leaves, and I bet your lawn is covered with them right now. Instead of raking, bagging, and hauling all those leaves off to the landfill, put them to use in your garden. Let me introduce you to leaf mold. Yeah, I know it sounds kind of yucky, and I imagine you're thinking it's moldy old leaves. And you'd be right. Leaf mold is simply leaves that have been fully decomposed. Who knew that old leaves would be solid gold for your garden? Of all the nutrients trees extract from the ground, about 80% of them end up in their leaves. And those leaves have up to twice the mineral content of manure. Decomposing leaves provide a perfect habitat and food source for your soil's microbes and earthworms. And when fully decomposed, leaves produce a rich, dark brown humus with a crumbly texture similar to compost. It sounds great. Now, keep in mind, leaf mold is not the same as compost. Leaf mold doesn't have the high nutrient values that compost does, but it greatly improves the soil structure by adding space for oxygen and water. And due to its high water retention properties, it's a perfect conditioner for soils that are made up of heavy clay or soils that have become compacted. And leaf mold is really easy to make. All you need are leaves and thyme. You can use any type of leaves except the leaves from black walnut trees. Black walnut leaves contain a toxin known as juglone, and it can be harmful to plants, so please avoid using any of those types of leaves. You can corral your leaves in a bin or a wire mesh cage, or just heap them into a pile in an unused area of your yard. My leaf bin just happens to be next to my compost bin. So anytime that I need to add a little more brown material to my compost, I just toss in some leaves. Now, depending on the size of the leaves and the size of your leaf pile, it can take anywhere from 2 to 3 years for the leaves to turn into good leaf mold. But if you're in a hurry, like I always am, you can shred your leaves with a lawnmower with a bagger attached. The finer the shred, the faster the decomposition. And mowing the leaves reduces that time to about a year or less. That means the leaves that you shred now will be ready to use as leaf mold in your garden next fall. How cool is that? To help further the process along, occasionally wet the pile and turn it, similar to how you treat a compost pile. In addition to being a super soil conditioner, leaf mold also makes a great mulching material. I use it on my raised beds and around my flower beds and shrubs to prevent weeds and reduce soil erosion. But if you don't have the time or the space to make leaf mold, you can still use those freshly fallen leaves in your garden. A thick layer of fresh leaves as mulch will still help prevent weeds and reduce erosion. I recommend shredding leaves for mulch as they will slowly incorporate into the soil over the winter. Of course, whole leaves work too, but you may have to remove them from your garden in the spring. And that's because whole leaves tend to mat down over the winter and form a pretty watertight barrier on top of the soil. Plus, they'll continue to keep the soil temperature cool. Now remember, in the spring we want our soils to warm up, so it's a good idea to rake out any whole leaves that remain in your garden in the spring. You know I like things tidy, but it's also a good idea to just let some leaves lie around in the garden. These leafy areas will provide a nice winter home for those beneficial insects who work so hard in our gardens all summer. The bottom line on fall leaves? Don't let them go to waste. Pile them up and make leaf mold. Your soil and its microbes will thank you. Adding compost and leaf mold to your garden beds in the fall will restore the structure, water-holding capabilities, texture, and of course, fertility to the soil. Providing a little TLC now to your soil will produce a healthier garden next spring. I hope you enjoy this fall season of thankfulness and all the natural beauty it brings. I think Albert Camus said it best with his quote, "Autumn is a second spring when every leaf is a flower." Well, that's it for this episode of Gardening in the Coop. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll tune in again, and if you like what you're hearing, click on the subscribe button below. Until next time, remember, life's a garden. Dig it.
Thanks for listening to Gardening at the Coop, the podcast all about growing your best garden. For more gardening information, visit us online at thecoeurdelainecoop.com or on Facebook and Instagram.